guys. Welcome to Courageous Wellness. My name is Erica Stein.
And I'm Allie French. And this is a podcast about individual journeys toward wellness and how to navigate it all.
We were inspired to learn about the journeys of normal people from all walks of life that have combined all types of practices, from physical to emotional to spiritual, to figure out what wellness means to them and what works for them.
We aren't doctors or experts, just average ladies figuring out how to live our best lives while tackling topics all across the wellness spectrum. It takes courage to share these journeys, and by talking about them and sharing personal stories of real people, we aim to destigmatize the process. Join us as we and our community share our courageous wellness. Happy Wellness Wednesday. Today on the podcast, we have a deep discussion with professional model and wellness influencer Holly Owens, also known as Wealthy Belly on Instagram.
Holly openly shares her personal journey in wellness and her experience living with chronic illnesses like Hashimoto's and Lyme disease. This leads us into a dialogue on her treatment journey that includes bee venom therapy. She also shares about her diet for optimal health and self-care practices. We are so grateful to Holly for sharing her story and hope you enjoy the episode. This episode is brought to you by Beekeepers Naturals. If you have listened to our episode with founder Carly Stein, then you already know how powerful Beekeepers Naturals products are.
Beekeepers Naturals is a wellness company specializing in innovative nutraceuticals made from healing hive compounds and plant-based ingredients. Their mission is to improve people's health naturally and save the bees.
Allie and I are absolutely obsessed with these products and have been using them consistently since December when Carly was on the podcast. So Allie, what is your favorite Beekeepers Naturals product?
I love the Propolis Throat Spray. I have used it consistently through the entire winter, and it's the first year of my life that I did not contract one head cold or sinus infection. It's been my immune system's secret weapon, which makes sense since Propolis is basically the immune system of the beehive and has germ-fighting properties. What about you?
I love the Propolis so much too, especially as somebody who always got strep throat and throat infections. It has actually changed my life completely. But with that said, my favorite product is the Bee Chill Hemp Honey. Bee Chill Hemp Honey delivers a powerful 28 milligrams of hemp oil per teaspoon so that you can find your bliss. Made with USA-grown hemp, it is non-psychoactive and contains 0% THC. I sleep like a baby when I take it before bed, and it seriously takes the edge off of my whole day. It also hits the spot when I'm craving something sweet after dinner, which is just an added bonus.
Yeah. If you want to try the Propolis or Bee Chill Hemp Honey or any of the other amazing products, you can receive 15% off your Beekeepers Naturals order by using the code COURAGEOUSWELLNESS, all one word, at checkout, or visit beekeepersnaturals.com/courageouswellness, and you can also find the direct link in our show notes. Thank you for joining us, Holly.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're excited to chat with you today. So just to start off, can you tell us a little bit about your background? We know you are a model professionally and started in that world before you kind of created this platform in the wellness world. So where did that sort of start for you? Like, where did those things merge in your story?
So I started modeling at 14. That's a very young age. Yeah. So being into wellness and fitness and eating right and everything was not my thing. Mm-hmm. So I grew up with a very standard American diet, never had any food issues, was very active. Every day I had, you know, dance or cheerleading or track or tennis. So I was always fit, just naturally. But I was also super skinny naturally. Mm-hmm. And that for me was like my own insecurity, because I always had people thinking I had an eating disorder, so I felt like I had something to prove. I would eat dinner with friends, parents that I knew probably thought, like, she's so skinny, like, what is she doing?
Right.
And I would purposely eat like 3 plates of food.
Wow.
To be like, look, I eat, and then stay at the dinner table, like, not leave to go to the restroom or not make them think anything, like, oh, she must have maybe, you know, gone and maybe thrown up or something.
Yeah.
And I remember asking my brother, he worked at GNC when he was in high school, and I asked him to get me some sort of, like, weight-gaining powder. Mm. So he, like, brought me back. I don't even know what it was, but it tasted so bad. And I lasted, like, 2 times.
Oh, and my goodness.
It was just so bad, and it wasn't working. My metabolism has always been fast. It's never been an issue for me. Like, that's what it was. But, of course, that came with my own insecurities, you know. The grass is always greener. And,
right. Of course, yeah. Especially when you're so young, too.
Yeah. And all my friends were, like normal. Like, in my mind, what was normal, I looked like a weird stick.
Yeah.
That was just long and lanky. And in photos, I'd be like, why do I look like that? Like, I wanted brown eyes. I had green eyes because everyone else had brown eyes. Right. So you always want what you don't have. So I started modeling at 14. And then when I was 18, I moved to L.A., mm-hmm. and pursued it basically on my own. Mm. And I was in Australia for 3 months right after high school. And I was eating my normal way. And I noticed I started to gain weight.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, wait, what's happening? This is so not like my body type. And I didn't work out once in 3 months, and coming from high school where I worked out every single day. So then I started to think, oh, whoa, okay, I'm aging, so I need to probably work out now. So then that's when I really started to dive into fitness for my own personal self. And I didn't start cooking for myself until I was probably 20.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just simple chicken and veggie type stuff. So it was a very slow transition to where I'm at now. It was never like I'm going to dive right in. It started with kind of working out a little more. It started by cutting out In-N-Out from my diet that I had probably 3 times a week and pizza multiple times a week. I just started slowly cutting back on certain things, and it kind of just evolved into this passion of mine for fitness and educating people and trying out different types of, like, I hate the word diet, but, like, ways of eating.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where it all started. I really dove into it probably 4 years ago when I started to get sick. So.
Okay. So can we go into that a little bit? Can you tell, like, for anybody that doesn't know, what happened when you started to feel ill, and then, like, your diagnosis as well?
So I've been living in LA for, this is my 9th year, but 4 years ago I decided to move to New York.
Mm.
And I was there for probably 7 months, and all of a sudden it was overnight. My gut just changed. I couldn't eat my normal, like, pizza and fun desserts, and they were causing me so much pain, like crying in fetal position, looking 8 months pregnant, not knowing what to do, and then the fatigue that happened, and the brain fog, and I lost a ton of weight, and also because I was scared of food, I didn't know what I could eat, because I was in pain from everything. Lettuce, I was in pain.
Wow.
And I was just so confused, and I started like reading books and researching things, and that happened in November, and it was probably like just January that all my issues started popping up. So it was overnight.
Okay.
November, I now realized I had a bullseye rash on my back. I was living in New York. I would go to Connecticut. I would go to the Hamptons, big Lyme places. So November I had a bullseye rash on my back, and then January is when all these symptoms popped up, and I only pieced this together in September.
Wow.
That was 4 years ago.
Wow.
And I got diagnosed with Lyme disease in September, and now everything makes sense, because the last 4 years I've been on this crazy health journey, trying to figure out what was wrong with me, trying to convince doctors to run more tests.
Mm-hmm.
Been to, you know, 6 doctors, which in the Lyme community, that's actually not that much. I've had some people that have said they've been to like 40 doctors and still weren't diagnosed until like 20 years later. It's
that's
crazy.
Wild.
And the testing is crazy. It's really hard to get diagnosed. I got diagnosed with Hashimoto's first.
Okay.
That was like the big diagnosis. That was probably 2 years ago.
And for anyone who doesn't know, Hashimoto's is an autoimmune?
Autoimmune thyroid disease. Mm-hmm. With that, like, affects your thyroid to perform like in the low range, mm-hmm. not the high range. Graves' disease is the autoimmune, like, hyperthyroidism okay. type mm-hmm. of thing. So, sorry, let me backtrack. First, I was diagnosed with leaky gut, malnourished, vitamin deficiencies. Then I went and got an endoscopy because I was convinced something else was wrong mm-hmm. deeper in my mm-hmm. gut. Came back with flying colors. My doctor said, no, like, everything's fine. You looked healthy. You're mm-hmm. fine. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm not okay. Like, help me. And, yeah, so then Hashimoto's was the next diagnosis, probably 2 years after it all started. And I thought, I figured it out. I got it. And, my gut just told me something else was wrong. Mm-hmm. So I kept researching. I would listen to every podcast. Any health and wellness podcast. Yeah. I'm like, does anything relate? Like, is this something I should research? Yeah. I became obsessed. It became my life. And I just kind of went into this hole and became kind of a little antisocial because I just didn't know what to do. I couldn't go out to eat with friends. Alcohol was affecting me in the worst ways. And I just didn't know what to do anymore. And then I finally got diagnosed with Lyme disease. And I feel so relieved that someone finally figured out what was wrong.
Wow, yeah. How do you, I don't know a lot, like, I think I've only known one person personally that has had Lyme disease. Mm-hmm. How do you, because it's such a hard thing to diagnose, like, what is the actual process of that diagnosis?
So, blood testing.
Okay.
But
there are markers, like,
there's blood markers. Yeah. Got it. But the standard testing through the CDC, the mm-hmm. Center for Disease Control, is the Western blot and the ELISA test.
Okay.
Which aren't that accurate. Mm-hmm. So many people come back with false negatives.
Yeah.
And Lyme disease and the bacteria is so smart that if you've been taking any type of antibiotics or herbs or anything, it knows.
Yeah.
So it goes and hides in your tissue, your lymph, your brain. So these blood tests sometimes aren't accurate because the Lyme isn't circulating in your bloodstream.
Yeah.
Okay. So it comes back negative. Mm-hmm. But if you were to test maybe a few months later, a couple years later, maybe your immune system tanks, maybe you'll get a positive diagnosis because it's in your blood. And it comes back out once it knows your immune system is down. And it comes back out and just starts fighting everything.
Yeah, it's very hard to diagnose. Yeah. I had a very close family friend. I grew up in Malibu, and she got Lyme disease in the 90s, like the very early 90s, and she went through hell because people didn't believe it. People didn't think it was real. Mm-hmm. And the treatment, right? Not only is the diagnosis really difficult, but that was the 90s. It's still really hard.
It's
a hard treatment. There's not a lot out there.
Testing and treatments hasn't really changed since the first breakout of it in the late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah, and
there's been no progress with it, really. So I went through a different lab. I went through Igenics testing. They are based out of Palo Alto, I believe. And I think they're privately owned lab company, so they don't have to go through the CDC. So they have free reign to test so much more than the CDC does. And because of that, more people are getting positive, accurate diagnosis. Yeah. So that's what I went through. And it shows on the test what the CDC would have diagnosed you with.
Wow.
Oh, interesting. The CDC said I was negative.
Wow.
But I was fine.
Wow.
But I had the markers that came up for me for Lyme. Only one of them was the one that the CDC tests. The other three were what Igenics can test.
Okay.
But then I also was diagnosed with Babesia, which is another co-infection from Lyme. So ticks carry lots of diseases. They don't just carry Lyme.
Yeah.
So they can carry, like, Rocky Mountain spotted fever. They can carry Bartonella, Babesia. God, I don't even know what else they can carry. They carry a lot.
I mean, that's
of things.
A lot, right?
Yeah,
no, it is. And I'm sure, as this, like, beautiful, quote, healthy, right, young woman, like you said, it must have felt great to have this information, but how did it also make you feel? You know, did you feel so like alienated? Did you feel alone?
Yeah. Honestly, I was fine. Yeah. I'm so independent on my own that even if it's something that makes me feel alone, I'm kind of like, whatever, I'll figure it out. I'm a Capricorn, so goats just kind of keep on moving up the mountain.
I was going to ask, and that's like, what's me. Your astro sign?
Like, I'm like on the goat on the mountain that's like, I'm good. Like, I'll just keep on going up.
That's
so
good.
Yeah, so that's a good thing about me. But social media. Social media was honestly the reason why I thought to get tested. Getting tested was my idea.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. Like, you really had to be your own advocate, which I feel like that theme comes up a lot. Just in general in medicine, definitely in my own experience, like, trusting that you... Just because, like, I'm not saying there's not amazing doctors out there, and there are, but just because a doctor says something or doesn't say something doesn't mean it's accurate or right. True. And that if you feel that something else is going on with you, then you're probably right. Mm-hmm. Like, I would say most times, 9 times out of 10, like, you got to trust that. I had that with my own experience, and it took over a year and a half to get diagnosed.
Well, with your cancer, you had a bruise on your back for a year, and the first doctor she went to told her to ignore it. Literally.
Oh, verbatim. My gosh.
I said, I went in actually for a virus. Like, it was, I guess it was a winter sort of sickness. It was a virus, but, like, it hadn't gone away in, like, 3 weeks. I was like, I gotta go make sure this isn't, like, an infection. And my doctor in the practice, who I loved, wasn't around. She was, like, out of town or something. So I was like, I'll see any of the doctors. Like, I'm, you know, like, I'm really sick and I gotta figure this out. And he's like, oh, just, like, a really, really bad bug's going around. And I was like, okay, that's fine, whatever, I'll get over it. But while I'm here, there's this bruise that's, like, not going away and it's small, but, like, should I be concerned about that? And I showed it to him. And he was like, ah, no, it's fine. He's like, it's probably just, like, maybe a cyst or something, but you can ignore it verbatim.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, wound up being a really rare form of cancer and, like, a slow-growing tumor that didn't get diagnosed for another year and a half. And, like,
crazy.
I had 3 doctors who didn't know what it was. My personal doctor wound up really taking good notes and, like, sticking with me on it. Mm-hmm. And when she started to get uncomfortable, she's like, I need to send you to a specialist. And, like, but I kept on it with her too, because I didn't trust what he had said to me.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just, like, another thing of that. It's like, it's amazing that you sort of had the foresight to take your health into your own hands. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a lot of, like, if you're feeling like shit, that's motivation right there.
When you never used to feel like shit.
Exactly.
So,
like, you want to figure out,
yeah,
and not accept that as normal.
Yeah, I refused to feel the way I was feeling. I knew something was wrong in my gut, and if a doctor didn't seem to help me, I just moved on.
Right.
It was expensive. It was worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm the one living in my body every single day. These doctors aren't. They have a quick 30 minutes with you, charging you what? Hundreds of dollars for 30 minutes.
If you get 30 minutes. I think the average now is 7 minutes.
What?
They lose money if they go over 7 minutes. It's like the average national. That's what I heard recently.
Oh my
Don't
God.
Quote me on it.
My doctor here in LA is incredible. She gives me 30 minutes. And sometimes she goes over and doesn't charge the extra 5-10 minutes. But yeah, you got to be your own advocate.
Yeah.
And that's what I learned. And I took it in my own hands. I read so many books. I listened to so many podcasts. I Google everything. And even if it's not something I'm dealing with, if it's a friend too, I love researching things.
Yeah.
And I love trying to help people. And I love just bringing up different things to talk about. So I guess that's in my favor. So, you know, but
yeah. So now you're diagnosed and you're going through treatment. What was your treatment process like, and how has that evolution been in the last 4 years?
So most treatment is antibiotics, but antibiotics actually don't work on Lyme past, like, a month after being bit.
Okay. Wow.
So the amount of people that are doing antibiotics after years of having it, It's not going to...
Don't need to.
Wow. No.
Yeah.
It's not going to do anything. That Lyme's in there.
Yeah.
The antibiotics for a month is not going to fix you. It might make you feel a little better, but everyone I've come across that has been on antibiotics for months after being sick for years, the antibiotics end up doing more harm than good, especially mm-hmm. to your gut.
Yeah, right. It's wreaking havoc. Yeah.
So, yeah. My doctor... She's integrative, so she's a mix of Western and functional.
Mm-hmm.
So she gave me the options. She said, you can try antibiotics if you want. I know you. I know you're not going to want to do that. Yeah. I don't think you should do it. Here is another option, which is more holistic, and it was ozone, which would be like the ozone 10 pass, I think. So it's a blood transfusion where they take out small amounts of blood, spin it in a thing, and add like an extra molecule of oxygen or something and then they put it back in your body, but they do that 10 times.
So it's like you're getting a transfusion with your own blood.
Yeah, and the ozone can help kill the Lyme bacteria.
Okay.
She gave me that option, but that's very expensive.
Yeah.
And she gave me some tinctures, which were very expensive. Mm. And I had tried the tinctures for 3 days and they just knocked me on my ass. I was like, who am I right now? I've never felt this bad.
Uh-huh.
So I stopped them just because I was about to go to Italy for vacation. I just put Lyme on the back burner and just went and enjoyed my vacation. And my friend Brooke, who runs Everyday Expert, she started an account called The Heal Hive. And she cured herself from Lyme, like very chronic, almost fatal Lyme.
Wow.
With bee venom therapy.
Mm.
So I had met her probably 6 months prior to getting diagnosed, which I think is just like some
serendipitous
crazy sign that this is what I was meant to do. She said, I'm happy to teach you and I won't judge you if you choose not to do it. Everyone has their own healing path, and if you want to do a different route, that's totally fine, but I'm here to help you if you want to do it. So I went to Italy and then I came back and I started bee venom therapy.
Wow.
So yeah, it's been amazing.
So how long have you been doing that now?
I've been doing bee venom for I think almost 8 months.
Okay.
It's a 2 to 3 year protocol. It kills the Lyme bacteria and Babesia and balances out your hormones and fixes mast cell activation syndrome, which is basically like just a histamine freak out in your body.
Yeah.
And bee venom is anti-parasitic, antibacterial, antiviral, anti-inflammatory, antifungal, antimicrobial. It's nature's antibiotic.
Yeah.
It's been used since like 400 BC or something, and it's great. You can help people with arthritis, MS.
Yeah, any sort of like inflammation,
rheumatoid arthritis. Yeah. And yeah, so she cured herself.
Wow.
She's been off stinging for 2-3 years now and has no symptoms. Tests come back clean.
That's amazing.
She cured her fibromyalgia as well with it.
Wow. So you really do have a concentrated like protocol, but then it's done.
Yeah.
Okay. How many bees, like, do you have to build up your tolerance? Like, how many bees do you sting yourself with? You can talk to us about What is it?
So for everyone listening, you have to get an EpiPen before I have to say that. please don't just go sting yourself with bees. Please get an EpiPen and talk to your doctor. But yes, so you start with a test sting. So you take the live bee and you sting on either side of your spine. Mm-hmm. So the sides of your spine is a highway of your nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
So when the venom goes into your spine, it just shoots out to all points of your body and it can find anything that's anywhere.
Wow.
And so you do a test sting, and that you leave the stinger in for 5-10 seconds.
Okay.
And then you remove it. And then you wait. And you just make sure everything's okay. No, like, reaction happens.
Anaphylactic thing. Yeah.
Yeah. If that happens, do your EpiPen and call 911.
Yeah.
And then you start, after that, the next time you sting 3 times a week. You do one sting, and you leave the stinger in for 10 to 20 minutes.
Mm.
And you do that for a week. And I ended up doing one sting for about 5 weeks.
Mm.
I went slow.
Okay.
Just because
a lot was going on in my body. Yeah. I felt really fatigued. The swelling on my back, I looked like I had softballs just sticking out of my back from the histamine reaction and the swelling. And
so you did have some sort of like anaphylactic response? I mean, not like fully, but that's like...
That's just like a reaction.
Yeah.
Like and a histamine.
Like a smaller allergic reaction.
Yeah. Yeah. Like nothing within my throat. Yeah. Okay. That's full.
That's just full having like venom in your body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's basically waking up your immune system. So you want that to happen. Yeah. That's a good sign that your immune system is awake
going
and waking.
Yeah.
Some people I know sting and nothing happens to their back. Wow. So their immune system is a little shut down. But I mean, the venom's still working.
Yeah.
It's just like the immune system's not fully awake. Okay. So yeah, then you work your way up to 10 stings. In each session. So I'm at 10. I've been at 10 for a couple months now. I think I reached 10 at 5 months.
Okay.
And yeah, you can list the beautiful thing about Bee Venom is you do it in your own home.
Yeah.
You're in control of your treatment.
Do you do it to yourself?
I did it to myself.
How do you do it on your own? Do you still do it on your back?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
So you reach in. I have a small container called a Bee Buddy. It has a plexiglass sliding door on it, and my bees live in there, and there's a queen bee pheromone stick, so they think it's their hive. So they just live in there, and they huddle around the queen, the fake queen, protecting her.
Yeah.
I can let them out if I want outside, and they'll come back just because they think that's their hive. So you reach in. They're pretty calm. You reach in with a tweezer, and then you grab it by its head, and her stinger will be against your thumbnail.
Okay.
Can't sting a thumb.
Right.
So you hold her, and then you reach back. I use a mirror, and I sting next to my spine.
Wow.
For my upper back, I use reverse tweezers. So they're, how does it work? When you pinch them, they open, and then when you release the tweezers, it closes.
Okay.
So you don't have to, like, constantly holding it. So it just reverses around her. And then I use that for my upper back because my shoulders aren't that flexible anymore.
That's amazing.
It is.
It really is.
It's crazy. There's a lot of people out there that
I'm sure
are mad
that I'm using bees. Because bees die if they sting.
Yeah, bees only have a one-time stinger.
Yeah.
Wasps, on the other hand, can just sting as many times they want. They're just the assholes of the flying community. Yeah. But my awareness for bees now, my appreciation for them, I try to treat each session as some sort of sacred ceremony in a way. I thank every bee I use. I love bees. Yeah. I see them out now. I'm like, hi, bee. There's a meme out there right now where it's like, I used to be scared of bees, but now every time I see one, I'm like, hey, bee, do you need some water? Do you want to use my car? Do you need a place to rest? I'm like, that is me.
Yeah, that's interesting. And it's like, in a way, it's opened up probably your love for them.
I love them.
Yeah.
I see, like, a picture of them. I'm just like, bees. Like, I love them now. And you know, I am using them for treatment, and I am basically having them sacrifice each life for me. They're doing something good for someone.
Yeah.
And in the long run, I'm going to want to start my own hive.
Oh.
I love supporting local beekeepers now. Yeah. I'm all for the bees.
Yeah. Yay, bees. Well, we have I was going to say Beekeepers Naturals is one of our sponsors.
Carly! So I love them. Too. Best honey, best bee pollen,
that's
everything.
we're big fans.
Only use their stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it is, you know, I think there's so much judgment in anything people choose to do, but you know, you're using these bees to heal yourself. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it is this beautiful ceremony, and it's not a mindless.
Yeah, I'm not just like, give me the bees.
And think about how much, I mean, not everybody, I'm sure there are plenty of non-animal consumers listening, but plenty of us, the way we mindlessly eat and consume animal products in general. I mean, I eat meat, but I try to have created a more mindful sort of sourcing and practice when I choose to do that to like have that awareness. But it's like, there's so many sort of animal sacrifices for us, and
And the fact that you're doing it so mindfully is so nice. And so, and like hearing the appreciation for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, think about how we don't even do that. And there's like a piece of chicken on our plate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some people try to.
And if anyone out there wants to help the bees, stop buying things that use pesticides.
Yeah.
That's the main killer of
right.
the bees.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
There's like a nicotine-like substance in some of these pesticides, and they get addicted to it, so they keep going back to those plants.
But it's poisonous.
It's poisonous, and so they pollinate these trees and flowers and things that have these pesticides on them because they're addicted to it. And then it totally destroys their nervous system, so then they get lost. They can't find their hive. A bee can't just go into any hive it finds.
No.
They know, right. like... You don't have the smell of our queen bee, so they kick it out. And a bee can't last more than 24 hours without its hive. So,
yeah,
don't attack me for this.
No, yeah.
Stop using pesticides.
No, it's no. true.
Like yeah. have some perspective about
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And where do you get the bees? How do you
So
do you
I recently
them?
Found a local beekeeper. He's in Topanga.
Oh,
He's
wow.
been helping me. Supply my bees. I actually went by
he's
one of
his. He's your bee dealer.
He's my bee dealer. I met him at an event. He was doing a honey tasting, and I mentioned something. I was like talking about my love for bees, and then I mentioned how I use them. He's like, "Whoa, no way! I have bees. If you need bees, I have like thousands of bees."
Yeah.
And yeah, but before that, I was getting them shipped from another beekeeper in I think they're in South Carolina
wow.
or something. So yeah, you can get them. Overnight or 2-day express mail.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah. Who knew you could mail bees?
Yes.
mail bees.
You can mail bees, yeah.
So this is your main form of treatment
now. That's my only form of treatment. So
that's incredible. And you feel so much better.
Yeah. yeah. Ever since I started, brain fog and fatigue were my main symptom. I had every day, multiple hours a day. I model full time. So being on set and feeling like I have the blinders on and I'm just in my own world and have no personality. That's not good. No one's going to book me again because I'm like in another, on another planet and can't talk. So it was really starting to affect my life and my personality and my work. And since I started, I haven't had any brain fog or fatigue.
That's incredible.
At all.
That's awesome.
Since like after the first 6 weeks of starting it, cause that was gnarly. Yeah, I was actually just shooting up in Portland, and where we were shooting, I think, had mold. And mold with any sort of illness is just awful, especially Lyme. So it basically puts a, like, shell around the Lyme bacteria.
Okay.
So if you're living in mold and you're doing Lyme treatment, you're not going to get better at all. So you need to get your home tested, everything tested to make sure you're mold free. And where I was shooting, I could just tell. And within 4 hours of being in there, I had a massive headache.
Wow.
I never get headaches.
Mm-hmm.
So fatigued, just major brain fog for 2 days. And I came back and I did my coffee enema. I did my infrared sauna. I was doing charcoal. I'm trying to like detox it out and get it out. And the joint pain was never really an issue of mine. The joint pain I had in my wrist shooting up to my elbow and then like into my shoulder and my knees were hurting all within 2 days. I'm fine now.
Of being in the mold environment.
Being in the mold. And that was the first time I realized, whoa, I've come a long way. That's how I felt every day for four years. I have so many good days now the last 8 months that it really kind of put things in perspective and made me super appreciative of how far I've come. So it's so easy to think, Was I really that bad? This is how I've been feeling.
Right, because you sort of normalize it, especially when it's like in memory.
Yeah.
And you do have a new normal now, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But like a little reminder of that.
You kind of need those
to
realize how far you've come.
Yeah.
And I keep a journal kind of symptoms or how I've been feeling. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking back on those and kind of realizing, wow, I had all these things every day.
Yeah.
Now I don't really.
Do you feel like the digestive stuff that you were going through that came on in New York was related to what was going on in your, I mean, obviously it was related, but like to what was going on in your body, those were the early days of the bullseye, but you didn't realize correlation.
Okay. Yeah.
So something was like freaking out.
Yeah. So Lyme had like one of the other symptoms is gut dysfunction, gut disorder, like food intolerances, food sensitivities. That's what I was going through. I did every elimination diet just to try to get some sort of hold on what I was doing. And those work, but
you really want to live your life not eating onion and garlic forever. Like, right. Now you got to find why you can't have that.
Exactly.
So, yeah, my gut's been a lot better. I bloat, like, so much less now. Mm. I honestly bloat if I just eat too much, which is a nice,
that's
nice. Normal.
Like, that's why, yeah. Right, like, that's why you do bloat.
Yeah. Not just like, oh, I'm nice. Really full because yeah. I ate a lot. Yeah.
And so what does your, like, diet or your food choices primarily look like? Like, how do you eat most of the time now to feel your best?
It's like a mix of, like, plant-based and paleo. Mm-hmm. I stay away when I can. Grains and legumes. I try not to be too restrictive anymore because the last 4 years I've been psycho over my diet, and it just really kind of, I think, was its own eating disorder in its own way, even though it was healthy.
Yeah.
I mainly just eat a lot of vegetables, avocados, fats, nuts, really high quality animal protein, but I treat my animal protein as a side. Mm-hmm. And my main, the whole plate is mainly vegetables.
Yeah.
And fats.
That's what Dr. Mark Hyman calls pegan. Yeah. Which is like treating your, if you do eat animal products, treating it as like a condiment and not like the main, the main star of your dish.
Yeah, I don't think it needs to be the main star of the plate. I think small amounts is good.
Yeah.
And I mainly have animal protein at least once a day, sometimes twice, but small portions, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm a foodie. I love food. Yesterday I was in Encinitas, and there's this place called Nectarine Grove, and it's paleo, organic, just heaven. And I got, like, paleo waffles paleo breakfast sandwich. Like, I felt like I was eating a normal freaking meal, a normal person, and it was just so nice. I ordered almost everything on the menu.
That's
I
amazing.
I freaked out. I'm like, I gotta try everything.
Everything I wanna bite. Yeah. They have a great little, sort of health conscious community down there.
In Encinitas?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Cause we've got
so many, like, cute, healthy,
like, little restaurants, cafes.
Yeah. That and do, we've like, done, paleo options, which.
A couple, podcasts, Robert Yang and also Sharon Brown, Bonafide Provision.
Yes,
they're headquarters out of Encinitas. So we got to, like, field trip down there
a couple times.
Yes. Well, we always say, like, sorry, tangent, Southern California geography.
I know.
It's like you go over sort of as you're going down towards San Diego, and it's like just you can breathe in a different way.
The air, everything.
Yeah.
Just like.
We spend a lot of, my boyfriend and I spend a lot of time in Santa Barbara on the weekends.
Barbara,
it's just breath of fresh air to get out of LA for the weekend.
Yeah.
Go be in nature.
Totally.
And just
it's gorgeous.
Be out of this craziness.
We're like going on a how beautiful Southern California tangent is. And so when you do indulge, like you mentioned, you ordered like everything at the pail, you know.
Yeah.
But what do indulgences look like for you? Do you drink alcohol? Like how is your relationship with that, you know, like when you want just like a piece of pizza, does that happen or a glass of wine?
Yeah. So lately, I mean, it's tough because with Bee Venom, I'm supposed to be pretty careful with my diet.
Yeah,
I'm not supposed to eat too many things that are high histamine or not drink too much alcohol. It can cause different reactions to happen. So I mainly have maybe right now 2 glasses of alcohol a month.
Okay. Mm.
I don't need it anymore.
Yeah.
Doesn't really do much for me.
Yeah.
It's fun once in a while. I had a wedding a couple weeks ago and took shots of tequila. It was fun. And I made sure to take my NAC or like glutathione after and make sure like I can process it all. But I mean, I'll have a couple sips of alcohol here and there. It's not my thing anymore. Mm-hmm. Used to be. Mm-hmm. Used to love to go out and drink. Desserts. I'm a huge dessert person. So finding like pressed juice freeze is one
love
of my
it.
Favorite. Had that last night.
Love
Kippy's ice cream in Venice, like coconut based ice cream. Gingers in Culver City. Ice cream. Yes, I like ice cream.
Ice cream spot in every neighborhood.
Yeah. But I try to be mindful about them and ask myself, do I really want this?
Yeah.
Or is it just me being in this kind of comfort zone of well, every night I have dessert, I should have dessert.
Yeah.
No, I should ask myself, do I actually want it?
Right. Exactly.
And I've been tuning into that a lot more. Same with any type of food.
Yeah.
My boyfriend ordered Fresh Brothers pizza a few days ago. I haven't had it in so long. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to try a couple bites. It didn't do it for me.
Yeah. It's interesting how that changes, doesn't it?
I'm a pizza queen. Like, I have pizza clothing. I have a pizza onesie. I have pizza earrings. I have a pizza bathing suit. I love pizza, but I honestly love cauliflower crust pizza now. Yeah. As crazy as that is, but I make such good pizza at home now. But that's what fulfills me. I don't really need, like, greasy, yummy, normal pizza.
Well, and
like,
I think that's so great,
couple
though.
Bites here and there. I mean, side note, when I was in Italy, yes.
Of course.
Hell no, I'm not eating gluten-free or cauliflower crust pizza in Italy. No,
of course.
I indulge there.
But I think that's such a great, honestly, it's so great to hear how, like, not, like, it's not that your meal plan is restrictive.
Yeah.
It's just what's working for you. Like, you don't,
it's just
this
genuinely
doesn't sound
what
restrictive at all.
Fulfills me.
Exactly.
I love fruits and veggies. I love eating clean and real food. Like, I don't want processed stuff anymore.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's just how it is. That's not me being crazy about it anymore. At least, I'm sure certain people would be like, whoa, how do you do that?
No, but like you mentioned before, there was a time, right, where, like, wellness can be very, like, healthy can just be
wellness
a
can be very unhealthy.
Yeah,
like, we're actually doing an episode about, like, the dark side of wellness.
But it totally is one.
Yeah. Because it can just be, you know, a mask for an eating disorder. Mm-hmm. But the way you're talking is the opposite of restrictive. It's just what you want to eat when you want
to
eat it.
And it wasn't always this easy for me to tune in and ask myself, do I actually want this? Well, also, getting a diagnosis and realizing, okay, something is wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy.
Right.
But now I know how to fix it, so I can relax a little in all the other areas of my life that I was just white-knuckling
everything. Trying to fix it in
other
ways.
I was trying to figure it out. Yeah. And food was, with my schedule, with modeling, I'm not in control of my time at all.
Yeah.
I'm on my agent's call, basically. They say, oh, you have to go to London in 4 days. I'm like, whoa, okay, that's a huge shift.
Yeah.
So food for me was the only thing in my life that I could control.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was going to dive right in and just control food to every little thing, every little ingredient. And now that I have a diagnosis, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can chill.
Can breathe a little bit.
But, like, I genuinely enjoy real food.
Exactly. What advice would you give for anybody listening who maybe still is struggling with figuring out, you know, like, what foods work for them, you know, trying to figure out how to feel better? What are some, like, places, right, that they can start? Because it can be really hard and overwhelming, and so much can be so expensive, right? Like, organic food versus what it's a very expensive industry as well, right?
Yeah.
So what advice do you have for anyone on, like, places to start or how they can start tuning in to listen to their own voice?
First off, just tune out the noise from keto, paleo, paleo, Whole30, like, just tune it out.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on you and what makes your body feel good. Every single person is different. We all have a different genetic makeup. Whole30 may work for someone, it may not work for someone else.
Yeah.
Celery juice may work for someone, it may not work for someone else. Just tune in. Put the blinders on and tune in.
Mm.
Eat real whole foods.
Yeah, yeah.
That is the easiest place to start. If you can't afford organic, do the dirty dozen.
Yeah.
Figure out what are the top things that have pesticides, like berries. Mm-hmm. Absolutely need to be organic.
If you
such
can.
Thin skin, they're just absorbing all the pesticides and the liquid. It's just a pesticide-filled strawberry.
Yeah.
So just tune out the noise, do the dirty dozen, eat real food, take digestive enzymes, research, like, use Google. We have so much information at the tip of our fingertips that I get so many people that ask me questions. I'm like, well,
Look it up.
I had, like, look it up.
Yeah.
That's what I had to do. Sorry. Like, yeah. Like, not to be mean, but, like, I didn't have someone on Instagram to DM and say, hey,
right.
I'm having all these symptoms. What should I do? Like, I had to Google every single symptom and try to see if there's any connection.
And that person on Instagram might not know what's best for you.
Right.
Their and advice
people
might
on Instagram are not doctors.
I know. And even we're here talking about the fact that, like, sometimes doctors, oftentimes doctors don't have the answer all the time or, you know, or may give you a piece of advice that's not right for you. So, like, especially if you're not a doctor, especially if you're just somebody on Instagram, I'm not saying that people don't have, like, a wealth of knowledge, and you've done so much work for yourself because you wanted to and you had to. And so you may be a great resource for you are a great resource for many people, and that's probably why you've had such traction with it, because people respond to that, you know? But that being said, like, we sort of live in this world now. You know, we recently went to an event where Max Lugavere was speaking, and we touched on the topic a little bit of, you know, we do sort of have to be our own doctors. And we went from, like, a generation, or at least I think our grandparents' generation, which was like, these are the experts. It's in their hands, and they know better than I know. I don't have a right to know because I'm not educated in this. But, like, that pendulum has had to swing, because as a nation, we've just gotten sicker and sicker and sicker. Mm-hmm. And it's not that there aren't, like I said, this is not to negate the amazing work that a lot of medical professionals are doing, especially in, like, the functional medicine movement and stuff like that. But it's also putting the power back into the hands a little bit of the individual, which is something that you've done. But it takes a lot of work, and a lot of people, like, don't either have the resources or the time.
They're too busy as they're working.
Exactly. You know? And so it's, like, it's great to have people that you trust, and that's always, like, a nice starting point. But then, I don't know if it's, like, unfortunate or fortunate. Maybe there's good sides, good and bad side to it. But I think it's, like, we are now at a time where we have to take the responsibility in our own hands.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing that part of your story too. Because I think it's a good...
Yeah. I just think we have to be our own health advocates.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's tough. A lot of people don't know how to do that.
No.
Yeah.
And no one teaches you how to do it.
No one teaches you how to do that. You just kind of fall into it. So, yeah, you got to research a lot and go from doctor to doctor until someone kind of connects with you. Yeah. I'm so lucky. Like, I love my doctor.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I go and see her now. I'm like, ooh, yay. Like, what are we going to talk about?
Yeah.
And if you are going from doctor to doctor, keep a list of everything. Yes. Go in with your list. If you only have 7 minutes, you got to make the most of that 7 minutes. So I go in with symptoms, questions, possible tests that I want to do.
That's great
I make
advice.
Sure that I have my notes that I can ask her certain questions. That way you get in there and you're kind of like, oh no.
Yeah.
Why am I here again?
Yeah.
Is all that stuff actually happening? And so I just write down everything I want to talk to her about. And if you have a good doctor, they'll listen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they'll say, cool, yeah, I think let's try this test first and see how that comes back. That's what she does with me. And I can tell she's so appreciative of all the research I personally do for myself, because she can say things and she's like, you kind of know what, I'm like, yeah, I know what that is. So
that's great. It's like you guys work as a team.
She says, like, there's no desk in between us. Don't see the desk in between us. We are on the same team. I'm here to help you. Anything you want to do, I will help you do it. And I went to her and said, I want to do bee venom therapy, and she's a doctor. She knows, like, she's not going to make a dime out of that.
Yeah.
She said, okay, I'm here to help you. I'm here to support you, look over it. And
that's
she's
an amazing
so
doctor.
Supportive. And I had to get an EpiPen through her, and I've had so many people reach out and say, my doctor won't give me an EpiPen.
Mm.
And, you know, you have to kind of just say, hey, I'm going to start working with bees, and I'm allergic. I need an EpiPen.
Right.
Yeah.
And she, thankfully, was just like, yep. Whatever you need. Here you go.
Yeah. And
that's
I think
a good doctor.
That is a good doctor. And I love that we don't have to be bound to one doctor, especially, right, if you have insurance. Mm-hmm. Like, I had this experience when I was looking for a therapist, right? Like, it took me 3 therapists to find the therapist that is, like, my human.
Right for you.
And it wasn't, you know, but
I wasn't, if someone hadn't told me that, I would have gone into my first therapy session and been like, I'm never going to therapy again. This woman did not vibe with me. She made faces at my first session.
Oh my God.
Which was so horrifying. Regardless, but if no one had told me you're gonna need to shop around, I would have been like, I'm
just
done.
You gotta take for a little test drive first.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
But that's why if your doctor is not giving you an EpiPen, or you go on your insurance website and you can find a list of doctors in your area. Yeah. It's actually not that difficult, and then you can go shop for who your perfect person is gonna be.
And then if anyone out there does have Lyme and they are in a position where they don't feel like they're with the right doctor or their doctor isn't doing the correct things, there is the ILADS website, so ILADS, that finds you a Lyme literate doctor in your area. I don't think all of them are functional, so if you are looking for one that's functional, you'll probably have to search through a couple, but with Lyme, I would definitely go more functional and integrative than Western, just because different treatment options and everything.
Yeah, and so, you know, since you're a life, right, you share so much of your life on Instagram and you're so, like, open. What – and you're taking such great care of your health, right? Like, it's almost like a second full-time job.
Absolutely, it is.
So what does self-care look like for you, you know? And I know self-care is, like, sometimes an eye-rolly word, but it can be really important. So
anything.
Yeah. So what does self-care look like for you amidst your very busy – very public life right now.
Epsom salt baths, infrared saunas. I've got my own infrared sauna at home, like a little dome that I go in because I have to do them so often with this treatment. Just anything I can do for myself. Yeah. Like, I know self-care is kind of self-explanatory, but even if it's 5 minutes of just sitting in my car before I go somewhere and just closing my eyes and deep breathing or doing alternate nostril breathing. That's my favorite way to kind of reset my nervous system. Legs up the wall for 10 minutes. That's self-care to me. Saying no is self-care to me. Staying home is self-care to me. Going out with friends is self-care to me. Yeah. Having fun. Like, it doesn't have to all be like meditating and baths and yoga. It can be going out and having fun with your friends.
Yeah.
It's good for your soul.
Yeah.
So I do all day is self-care for me, basically. Just
that's awesome.
Basking in the sun for a couple minutes when I'm out with my dog.
Yeah.
Anything. Being with my dog is self-care. Like, I treat everything as self-care, I guess.
That's amazing.
That's great. That's a great way to live.
Yeah.
So what's next for you?
Oh,
now
boy.
You have this. It was like a big open-ended question. So you have this sort of wellness platform that's grown, especially through your health journey, plus you're a full-time model as well. Do you have any... like, now that this sort of, like, wellness platform that you have is a big part of your life, do you have any sort of goals with it? Or are you fine and, like, content just kind of in the day-to-day, moment-to-moment? What do you see for, like, the next phase of it for yourself?
I'm somewhat content with how it is at the moment, but I know that's not how I want it to be forever. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be only an influencer, if that's what I'm called. I mean, it is. But, I want to diversify. I want to get out of Instagram. I want to do other things. Yeah. Maybe it's some sort of product or my own little shop or my own little educational ebook thing or something. Like, my newest thing I'm totally obsessed with is your pelvic floor.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I think I saw your post about the diastasis. What is it called?
Diastasis recti.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I started pushing my fingers in my stomach and I was like, I can't tell.
That needs to be its own podcast interview in itself. Oh my gosh, I'm obsessed in how it's not talked about. But engaging your pelvic floor, I'm obsessed. So yeah. I don't know if I want to. 2 days ago, I was like, I'm going to get certified in pre and postnatal exercises. I don't want to train people, but I just want to know more so I can educate people.
Yes.
Who knows? Maybe I'll come out with a thing about that. You know, I don't know.
I mean, it is really important, actually, even beyond the, like, pre and postnatal, and you're talking about it's really known within, like, the postpartum community.
Everyone can get it.
Yeah. But my friend's mom is, like, the head of physical therapy at a hospital in New Jersey, and her kind of specialty is pelvic floor muscles, because later in life, too, so many people develop the superficial muscles in our pelvic floor, but if we don't have, like, that deep connection, and in yoga they talk a lot about that, but
it leads to, both for men and women, incontinence. And yeah. Like, nobody wants, that can't be fun.
Sorry, TMI, but like, I can barely go on a trampoline anymore without like, you know, leaking like, a little. I'm like, okay, I need to work on my pelvic floor. Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
That's so important.
Let's start working on our pelvic floor.
Yeah. Oh my God, everyone listening, work on your pelvic floor muscles. Do your Kegels. Yeah. Do your deep breathing.
And that's, it's not just for women, it's for dudes too.
For men too. Yeah. Kids. You can be born with it and it never heals. Like, anyone can get it. It's not just pregnant women.
Wow.
Which is the crazy thing. I've never been pregnant and I have it.
And it's not talked about.
It's not talked about. I've started to find some accounts that talk about some good stuff on it, but yeah, I don't know. The options are endless for what's next for Wealthy Belly.
Well, that's exciting.
Stuff is in the works. I'm trying to figure it all out, but it's exciting.
Maybe next year you come on and talk about your pelvic floor. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
When we finish sort of like wrap up our episodes, we always ask our guests, do you have any, and this can be like relating to your health journey or just like your life in general, do you have any books that you would recommend? I'm sure there are many, but that have felt particularly, one or two that have felt particularly sort of important to you?
Woman Code,
mm-hmm.
for just hormones and periods, because I don't feel like it's talked about as a kid or a woman really that much. The different cycles you have. There's 4 different cycles within a period.
Is that Elisa Beattie?
Yeah. Her book, it was great. Mm-hmm. That I highly recommend just as a woman in general. Mm-hmm. Just to understand your body.
Yeah.
And, oh boy. I mean, for my Lyme people, if you're into conspiracy theories and stuff, I just read Bitten.
Okay. Mm.
It's basically how Lyme was created as a bioweapon in the 60s.
Wow.
For like, and like
I'm totally into conspiracy theories.
Oh my God. And like during the Cold War. Wow. And yeah, how the military was basically doing like tick drop bombs over like Cuba and other countries to try to take out the agriculture workers and townspeople so that like an attack would be easier because people would be sick for months. Yeah.
Wow.
Right. Wild.
I'm going to look into that. That's so fascinating. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much again. And for anybody who doesn't already follow you on the internet, where can everyone find you online?
So I'm at Wealthy Belly, WELLTHY Belly on Instagram. I don't have anything else. I'm just on Instagram.
That's okay.
But come on over.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Courageous Wellness. Tune in every Wednesday for a new episode featuring a different guest each week.
Subscribe, rate, and write us a nice review. And you can follow us on Instagram at Courageous Wellness.
Until next week, I'm Allie.
And I'm Erica, and we're Courageous Wellness.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.